Sometimes what happens is that when we are faced with sentences of this sort from the leader, one might have this knee-jerk reaction of thinking of one kind of jihad. So interestingly, he himself yesterday, when he met some of the outstanding students, outstanding academic high achievers of Iran, he actually clarified this point as well. He said that when I'm talking about jihad, you guys, these outstanding students, your primary jihad is jihad-e-ilmi. And he said that this does not conflict with the fact that you need to do jihad-e-tabeen, jihad in the economic realm as well. So beginning with that thought, this is not the time of our istiz'af, this is not the time of our weakness. As the leader had mentioned quite some time ago, we are in the conditions and the situation and the scenario of victory, of Badr and Khaybar. So if you're talking about military jihad, yes, people who can do this, who have that, who have the skill set, who have the opportunity, bismillah. But we don't really need that right now. We have people who are well trained. So what do we need to do? What is that special skill set that we have that we can bring onto the table? It is that ilm that we have. It is that ideological knowledge that we have. It is that etibar and that respect that we have within our communities, which we can invest at this time and do the jihad at tabeen, do the jihad of explanation and clarification, so that the message of the resistance front reaches universally, not only to our communities, not only to the larger Muslim population, but to all the downtrodden people everywhere. So this is one point that needs to be made. Then specifically for the followers of the Ahlul Bayt in Western countries, brothers and sisters, there's a time and place for taqiyya. Taqiyya is done in a situation when there is no other choice. And we've talked about this in detail in the past, we'll do so in the future as well. The leader himself has talked in detail about this. But brothers and sisters, when the local population, the natives, when non-Muslims themselves are coming out in their thousands and protesting, now what are you doing taqiyya for? Brother, the train has already left, the ice is already broken. Then you have other excuses that you care. Oh no, if we go to these protests, Sayyid, Shaykh, if we go to these protests, oh, there are many divergent people in the protests as well. There are people who have differences in their moral standards, their ethical standards, their viewpoints, etc, etc, etc. Uzre battar as guna, as they say in Farsi. An excuse worse than the sin itself. Who allowed these people, because of their inaction, who allowed these people to be the leaders of the downtrodden in these countries? Why weren't the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, as ambassadors of the Ahlul Bayt, ambassadors of the Quran within their own community, at the forefront for fighting for justice all throughout these centuries? Why were you there just doing what we were doing? Gathering up those dollars and doing whatever you needed to do. How do you call it? Income. You should have been at the forefront. Now, since you weren't at the forefront, the time has come to compensate. And I would advise the brothers and sisters in the West, instead of looking towards some, you know, third degree, fourth degree, fifth degree senior scholars making their own istihad, look towards Imam Musa Sadr in Lebanon. Look towards his seerah. Alone went into that country, dominated by other narratives, by other moral standards, and change the game altogether. So that is the second point. Stop making these excuses. Get into those protests. Become the leaders of those protests over a period of time. Even fix the people who might have those divergent moral standards. Qarar put shuma tabib davar bashir. You were supposed to be the spiritual physician of the people. What kind of physician says, oh, because this guy is sick, I'm not going to treat him? What logic is that?